Sisters, good morning. I was in desperate need for a beginning of a homily yesterday. I tried and I tried and I tried. I couldn't find anything. What I had settled on by about 3:45 was about aliens being in your living room and you having a conversation with them, and I knew that wasn't going to work. It was just bad. It was bad. It was terrible. Like many of my homilies. You see, Miss Tina even got caught up when she heard that there will be no more wailing or pain. She thought about my preaching and she said, the day when Father Sensat's preaching ends will be a day of great joy, so we don't have to hear stupid opening images to homilies anymore. And I was like, Lord, I need something. I need something. And I was thinking about, for another reason, I was thinking about Pope Leo XIV and just how grateful I was that in almost every speech that he's given, he's either quoted from Pope Leo XIII, which is why he took his name, or, of course, St. Augustine. And he was an Augustinian and studied Augustine's theology. Well, I was like, oh, good, because y'all don't know anybody who keeps repeating the same saints over and over and over again and keeps quoting from the same saints in every message that he gives. I was like, this will feel familiar to my people. It's nice. But I was got the ball rolling in my head. I thought about St. Augustine. I was like, oh, man, yeah, that's right. There it is. Because there's something that St. Augustine himself quotes all the time. I was like, well, that's really where I wanted to go with my homily. One of St. Augustine's favorite Bible verses is not something that you would think of as being terribly inspiring. Certainly not terribly joyful. And absolutely not terribly consoling. And it is Job chapter 7, verse 1. Surely man's life on earth is drudgery. That's the quote. And Augustine quotes that all the time. I'm like, Augustine, you feeling okay, dude? It's gonna be all right, right? Surely man's life on earth is drudgery. And when I was younger, I used to resent that a little bit. I was like, you know, there's so many beautiful things in life, Augustine. Why can't we just appreciate them? And then now I'm, you know, on the cusp of death 90% of the time. So I was like, yeah, it's drudgery. And I'm sure, like many of you, half the time I'm just trying to survive. And Augustine repeated that phrase over and over and over again because he wanted us to learn, to know, to not be deceived in the fact that this life will never give us ultimate happiness. And we are perpetually deceived by that. Every single commercial, every single advertisement you ever see basically gives you the false promise that if you buy this or sign up for this, your life will suddenly be complete and happy, right? And that's not to say that there aren't a lot of good things in the world, it's just that they can never ultimately satisfy us or take away all our needs or wipe every tear from our eyes. Surely man's life on earth is drudgery. And that's reality. But I also thought, as we were talking about the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit during this Easter season, I also thought that even the faith is oftentimes drudgery. And people experience that as drudgery. And if there is one verse that I could delete from the Bible, I mean, not that I would delete any of God's words, but if there was one word that I wish he just had never actually said, it would be the one that comes in the first reading today, which is even worse than Job chapter 7, verse 1. And it is a verse that drives me nuts. I've been very upset about it for as long as I can remember. They strengthened the spirits of the disciples and exhorted them to persevere in the faith, saying, it is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Not, it'll happen to happen. Not, as you try to live your life of faith in the world, there'll be some friction along the way. No, an essential part of getting to heaven is enduring hardship. Which, you know, if you're anything like me, you're like, I don't need any more. I'm not like looking, I'm not going questing for more hardship. It's kind of frustrating. I don't need everything to be butterflies and bananas, but it would be nice if the hardships didn't increase when I tried to follow God's will, and of course they do. It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And that reality, that faith is just hard, is why, I recall John of St. Thomas saying, is why the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not just nice. They're necessary for salvation. They're necessary for salvation. And that's particularly true of the two gifts we're going to talk about today, which look at the most burdensome aspects of Christian life. I really think so. The most normally burdensome aspects of Christian life, and make them sweetness and joy. And those two gifts are understanding and piety. Understanding and piety. So, what is the gift of understanding? The gift of understanding takes faith. And faith in and of itself is you've heard the word of God proclaimed, you've heard the teaching of the church, you check it off, you sign off on it, you assent to it, yes. But faith in and of itself doesn't help you see the inner truth of things. It just says, I trust God, I trust the church, I'm going to assent that this is right. I don't see how it's right. I don't get any sense of the inner meaning of it. But it's what was proclaimed to me, and I accept it. That's faith. That's bare faith. Understanding lifts the veil just a little bit so that we begin to see the inner truth of faith, the inner coherence, the elegance, the beauty, the magnificent splendor of how this truth fits together and lifts us up. And in a certain sense, I don't know if this is what they were talking about, I think it was probably just bare faith, but you know, in a certain sense, this beautiful line at the end of the reading, and how he opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, that's exactly what the gift of understanding does. It opens the door of faith. Right? So we believe, but then it has to be open to us. And that's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, all understanding is something that can't just be manufactured. This is another thing from St. Augustine that I really love. Slight tangent, but I think you'll appreciate it. St. Augustine is adamant about the fact that we preachers, that teachers, that books, none of this can make you understand. And why is he adamant about this? It's really brilliant. He said, because I've taught. And if I were the cause of my students' understanding, they would all understand at the same time. Right? They'd all get it at the same time. All I can do is, like, try to help them get it. But I can't cause understanding. You know? And he gives this wonderful line of, it's like I'm pointing at a star. Look. And it depends on them to lift their eyes. And if they do lift their eyes, it depends on whether or not they have clear enough sight to see the star. And so all understanding is, in a certain sense, a gift from God. But, you know, we always have those eureka moments, or we have those moments where it's suddenly where we get it. And that's all natural. But when it comes to the faith is above human reason. And so if we're going to understand it, and if we're going to understand it in more than an academic way, more than a theological way, more than a human way, if we're going to understand it from the inside, then that requires the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you know that it really is essential for salvation. But before I dive into that, I want to talk about two saints who were not intellectuals, were not educated, were not theologians, but who had the gift of understanding, because this does not depend upon your intellect. It depends upon the gift of the Holy Spirit. One of them was Francis of Assisi, who knew like nothing except on how to make Italian poetry, and he was like, you know, rap battle of his time, right? But didn't know any theology, didn't want to know theology. And yet, when he read the Gospels, the Spirit moved him in such a way that he was able to see the inner meaning of the Gospels, and great theologians would come and ask Francis, what does this mean? Because he had an instinct, an intuition, a gift from the Holy Spirit that opened up the door of faith, that opened up the inner meaning of what he read. And the other is St. Joan of Arc, who as a 19-year-old girl was not at all trained in any kind of Catholicism. I mean, our teenagers today have had much more schooling in what the Catholic faith means than Joan of Arc ever got. Okay. And she was dragged before the Inquisition, some of the greatest theologians of her time. And they thought, I mean, they really thought she was a witch. So they tried to prove it, and they gave her all kinds of very difficult theological questions. And she sailed through all of them. And we know this. This is not legend. We actually have the transcript of the trial. One of the hardest questions they asked her is, Joan, are you in the state of grace? Now, we talk about being in the state of grace, and we know that if you're not in the state of grace, you shouldn't receive communion. So you might say, well, I should have a pretty good idea whether or not I'm in the state of grace. And you should. You should have a pretty good idea. But it's the technical teaching of the church that no one can be absolutely certain they're in the state of grace. Okay? Now, if you didn't study that, you would have like a 0% chance of knowing that. Okay? Because it's not self-evident. And yet Joan's answer was perfect because she had the gift of understanding. Her answer, Joan, are you in the state of grace? She said, if I am, thanks be to God. And if I am not, may God in his mercy soon put me there. Now, this was not because of her great rhetorical training. This is because the Spirit filled the sails of her soul. And she suddenly saw it from the inside. There's so many things, dear brothers and sisters, that the church demands that we believe. And it can become difficult to persevere in that belief till death if we never ever get a sense of the inner meaning of it. If we never ever get a sense of the inner truth of it. If it's always just a list of propositions that we said we must believe. And a lot of people, especially Americans today, will just say, to heck with it, throw their hands in the air, and abandon faith. And that's why the gift of understanding is necessary for salvation. Because you can't white-knuckle your journey with God. Sometimes you have to persevere, but it can't just all be like, well, I'm going to do it even though I never feel or sense or intuit anything. Not going to work. And that goes for the second gift. So if understanding is about everything we're called to believe, piety is about everything we're called to do. It's about all of our obligations. Our obligations toward God and our obligations toward one another. The obligations of justice. Like going to Mass, praying, observing the Sabbath day, coming on holy days of obligation, caring for the poor, supporting the church, like all these things. There's a lot of stuff. And I know that those obligations, even though we acknowledge that they're fair, that those obligations can become crushing. Now, yesterday I accused the entire congregation of being liars, and I suppose that was wrong. But, you know, I asked them, how many of you know somebody who's left the church because they said, well, this is just a whole bunch of rules and I don't feel like following them anymore? And, like, nobody raised their hand. I feel like every single person I've ever met who's left the church left for that reason. Right? I've never heard of that in my life. And I call them all liars, but I wasn't feeling well, so that's, you know, that's on me. But dear brothers and sisters, the reality is we are obliged a lot. And the gift of piety lets us experience the inner goodness of those obligations. Just like understanding lets us intuit the inner truth of faith, piety lets us experience, oh, this isn't just a rule. This isn't just a burden. This is something for my health. This is something good. I gave an example yesterday of like whenever you start eating healthy and suddenly you actually want to eat healthy and you don't want to eat pizza anymore, which is just stupid. But the reality is, right? The reality is that you do get a sense of like, oh, this is what it works like. I remember somebody, a friend of mine, posting that you know your life is unhealthy when you drink a glass of water for like the first time in 3 years and you realize it's the best thing you've ever tasted in your life, right? It's like that. That suddenly coming to Mass, praying, helping the poor, supporting the church, all of this, suddenly you get a sense of its inner goodness, a sense of its inner rightness, and it becomes sweet and joyful. That's the gift of piety. That's also why I get so mad at people when they're like, you shouldn't just feel obliged to come to church. You should want to come to church. Yeah, you should, but that's the gift of piety. You can't control that. So don't go around telling people that. Like, no, you're obliged to come to church. But yes, we have to pray that eventually we at least sometimes experience that joy, that sweetness, that savor in meeting the obligations of God. Because again, if you never experience it, if you just try to white knuckle it your whole life, surely man's life on earth is a burden. Surely we will undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And a lot of people lose their souls over this. They're like, I'm done with that. I'm out. That's as far as we can tell, sends them to hell. So, you know, you want to never get to a point where it's just obligation. And that's why God gives us the gift of piety. The gift of piety. Another name, I think, that we have for that gift of piety is devotion. Devotion. Where it's no longer that I say my prayers because I have to, but there's an inner love, an inner fire. And we see some of that today in the gospel, where Jesus challenges us with by far the most crushing commandment that we've ever had. I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. There is nothing in the Old Testament that approaches the difficulty of that commandment. And yet, so many people, knowing the love of Jesus Christ and knowing what it means to love as Jesus did, experience that burden as all joy. As all joy. And so, dear brothers and sisters, this weekend we ask the Lord to fill us with the gifts of understanding and piety in particular. Because faith is hard. It is necessary by many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. The life of man on earth is a drudgery. And yet God has given us gifts to ease the burden, to remove the weight, to gladden our heart, so that it is no longer hoops to jump through or burdens to carry, but all sweetness and all delight. God bless you all.